Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with Health Minister Andrew Little, I spoke to him about his announcements on shaking up the health sector, which scraps all 20 district health boards and replaces them with a within one new body called Health New Zealand. A new independent Māori health authority will also be sitting alongside it and will, quote, have the power to directly commission health services for Māori. A new public health agency will also be set up to target widespread health problems like smoking and try to prepare for pandemics and epidemics. Here's the minister. Health Minister Andrew Little, good morning.
Good morning, Justin.
So it must be a very hectic day for you for the past couple of hours.
It has been, yeah. I think this has been a big project pretty much since the time I started as Health Minister, responding to the Health and Disability System Review. So this has been months to put together, a lot of consultation, a lot of engagement. I've done a fair amount of stakeholder engagement. And then more recently, once the proposals have been kind of crystallised and developed, just gauging, you know, where it's at. The overwhelming feedback I've had, particularly from those working in the health sector, is that they're desperate for change. Everybody is saying the system is not working as it should do. Too many people are missing out. There's too much inequity. And the structure of the system is not helping. So where we got to, I think, is there's an appetite for change. I'm pleased that the feedback so far since we made the announcement yesterday has been pretty positive overall. And as I said yesterday, this is about an opportunity. This gives us an opportunity to make some change. There's a lot of detail to work out. We'll do that in consultation with people, but there's a real chance now to do something quite special.
Okay, but is it your intention to bring in an NHS style of model that we see in Britain into New Zealand?
I don't know the full details of the NHS model. What I think makes sense for a country our size is rather than have 20 kind of sets of decision makers making decisions about healthcare services, actually one coherent body that can ensure a consistency of health services in terms of access and quality, can really set standards and enforce those. But also, when it comes to commissioning decisions, I think we have the ability to get a much richer level of input from the community than we're seeing with elected DHB board members at the moment, and really work on what services are relevant to particular communities. And take advantage of technology and the way health services are moving, which is, you know, moving more services out of hospitals and back into community settings so more people get access to it. And getting healthcare is less strenuous than it is at the moment.
Okay, I want to start on the details now, starting with the Māori Health Authority. You said in your speech yesterday it should be independent. So in what ways will function that is truly independent?
It will make its decisions. It will, and the makeup of it will be determined by Māori. It'll get a budget, obviously, from the government. That'll be negotiated. But it will make its own decisions. It'll have commissioning powers. The important thing is that because not all of the health services that Māori receive come from Kaupapa Māori Health Services, they come from the rest of the system. Actually, the Māori Health Authority will have a big say in the rest of the system too, because they need to. But they will come to that from their own independent view, and it enables us to take that step, I think, to get closer towards that equality of partnership between, in this case, the Māori Health Authority and the other side, Health NZ. A lot of detail to work out, but I'm confident that we've got the start and the foundation of a good model.
Okay, so when you say the setup of the organisation is going to be determined by Māori, so there won't be a minister-appointed leadership?
No, I mean, I'll oversee what's happening. We'll pull together a group, but we'll talk to Māori about a group that can then work with Māori to pull together the permanent organisation in terms of, you know, who the governing board is. They'll appoint their own chief executive through their processes, that sort of thing. But the process of getting governing board members from Māori into that role, that'll be up to Māori to work out.
Okay. Before you announced all these reforms, a report came out earlier this week saying there are Māori are falling behind on a lot of health areas. So what will be the priority for the new authority?
Well, that'll be a matter for the Māori Health Authority to do that. But, I mean, that report kind of really throws into pretty stark relief, actually, the challenge we've got. You know, I think the figure I saw for young Māori aged 15 to 24 suffering major trauma, they are three times more likely to die within a month of suffering that trauma than Pākehā. And then you look at a whole range of other health statistics too. The fact that many more Māori are diagnosed very late with cancers, you know, whereas a lot of Pākehā get diagnosed much earlier. And that's all about access to health services to get that diagnosis and the treatment up early on. Wherever you look, the figures for Māori are worse. So let Māori let them take control, as they have increasingly done through Kaupapa Māori Services, and doing great stuff. And bearing in mind too, most Kaupapa Māori health services are not, their patients are not exclusively Māori. They serve a community, and if Pākehā are there, Pākehā will go there. But let Māori make those determinations and take some control and actually make a difference for themselves.
Okay, well, but what about Pacific? What about Pacific people? Will they have their own specialist units within Health NZ, like the Māori Health Authority?
They will have. We will have a Pacific Health Directorate in the ministry. We have one at the moment. We want to beef that up. They're doing some great work. They can do with more in terms of putting together more programs. But there is, there's an emerging intellectual kind of foundation for health services for Pacific peoples as well. So, look, we will continue to support that and develop and grow that.
Okay, moving on to mental health. Mm. Scrapping all the DHBs and the establishment of Health NZ mean for mental health?
Oh, it means we can get some more coordination, greater coordination and cohesion for mental health and addiction services. So if you look at the big program of work we've got at the moment, the response to He Ata Oranga, we're 2 years through what is a five-year change program. Actually, and we're a fraction behind, but one of the things we have to do, everything we do, we have to negotiate 20 times with each different health board. We don't have to do that anymore. And so Health NZ can pick up that piece of work and say, right, we've got the program of work, we need X, Y, and Z here, we're going to go ahead and do it. We don't have to negotiate with a local district health board.
In terms of mental health workers shortage, how is a overarching organisation going to address that?
Oh, well, one of the things that Health NZ will do is, and it has a mandate for, is workforce development, long-term workforce development. We know that our current health workforce is under pressure. We're struggling to get the skills that we need. So we need to do some real long-term planning, work with the training institutions, the universities, the others, and health institutions themselves to start building that long-term pipeline of health skills and talent. So Health NZ will do that. We'll do it in conjunction with the Māori Health Authority, because we need to build that Māori health workforce as well. That'll make a difference to mental health too. You know, mental health is an area that struggles to get healthcare workers, has done for a long time, but now we can get some real grunt behind it by consolidating the DHBs into Health NZ.
Okay, staying on Health NZ, there will be four regional branches instead of all the DHBs. So what are they?
So the regions will be, look, there'll be four regions. They'll be, many of the DHBs have started cooperating and collaborating together as it is. So you've got what they call the Northern DHB. So that's the Auckland ones plus Northland. So that'll be a region. The South Island would be a region. The South Island DHBs have been working increasingly more closely together. And then the Mid-Central North Island, you'll have regions built around, one around Wellington and Capital Coast and Heart Valley Health, and the other around Waikato. The current Waikato DHB. So those will be the regions. But Health NZ will continue to be represented in every city and many towns in New Zealand. It won't just be wherever the headquarters are of those regions.
Okay, we talked about the shortage of manpower at all those in our health workforce right now, but what about pay? So far, we have seen numerous strikes by nurses and other healthcare staff in the past few years in different DHBs. Is health news, is setting up Health NZ going to standardise their pay and perhaps even make it better?
Yeah, well, I mean, many of the collective agreements are nationwide collective agreements, the nurses one, which actually the nurses one is under negotiation at the moment. But actually, this should make it easier and better. So rather than the unions representing those workers having to go to 20 different employers, even if there is some consolidation, there'll be one employer. It'll be Health NZ. And eventually we'll get to, you know, one agreement for nurses, one agreement for whatever other disciplines or health professions that there are. I briefed the unions on this on Tuesday. They were very excited by this. They see the benefits not only in terms of healthcare provision, but actually for the way that they advocate for their members too and making their contribution to good quality healthcare. So this offers huge opportunity for those workforces.
Okay. The transition starts later this year. So, and an interim organisations for the Māori Health Authority and Health NZ will begin. So what's their work?
Yeah, well, actually the transition starts pretty much straight away. Engagement is starting already, trying to pull together for Health NZ an interim governance board, working with Māori on how we want to put together the interim Māori Health Authority. The aim is to have the permanent bodies in place, ready to go 1 July next year. That will require legislation for a lot of these changes. The legislation, I expect, will be in the House towards the end of this year. And to have it passed by the end of April next year. So all that work is underway, and there'll be a heap of engagement and consultation along the way as we start to put this together. Look, there's a lot of stuff that will happen after 1 July next year, once the permanent bodies are in place, setting up systems and processes, you know, big challenge on the IT front, trying to consolidate all that. So there'll be, you know, there'll be a couple of 3 years of work to follow to really pull systems and processes together and then get to work on the cultural change that we need around building a truly national public health service.
Do you think that's a very ambitious target to roll out those new organisations by next July? Do you think it's a bit rushed?
No, I think it is can be done. It's you know, the sector, their message to me over the last few months has been loud and clear. We need change. We don't want to dilly-dally around. We want to get on with it because too many people are missing out, and we've really got to change what we do in terms of healthcare services. So, yeah, it is ambitious, but I detect a real willingness within the sector and even from the DHB leadership saying, yeah, we're onto this. We're on this. We're going to get into this, and we'll support it.
Okay, on the transition, back to the transition again, will there be any staff redundancies?
Look, when you're pulling together 20 organisations, basically putting them into one, there'll be some roles where you don't need, you know, you don't need 20 head IT managers, you don't need 20, you know, general manager of human resources. So I think there's some of those roles will go. In terms of frontline health work and clinical workers, no change because actually we're short of those. And then with the new entities, there will be new roles anyway that some people will, you know, will be interested in, and they'll be eligible to apply for. But alongside that, we also do want to attract in some new, especially some new leadership talent around the health system. I think it will do with a refresh in terms of leadership.
Okay, my final topic for today will be on how services will be provided. There hasn't been a lot of announcements on how services will be delivered under Health NZ. So could this mean more subsidised services? Is the government planning to do that?
Look, issues about funding for the health system generally, there's a big project to work on that at the moment. So, look, no particular plans at this point. In terms of services and delivery, I think we've got a real opportunity to do something that is happening in other countries but not here, and that is services that are currently sitting in hospitals but don't need to be there, pushing those out into community settings. And it's a thing that I really wanted to see under the new regime.
What sort of items?
Oh, you see, things like, look, some forms of chemotherapy, actually administering chemotherapy with a nurse practitioner, a senior health professional, you don't need to be in a hospital doing it, and you can put it out into a community centre, a health hub in a community centre, so people aren't having to travel long distances to get their chemo and then travel long distances back home. Things like that, I think, is and using technology, digital technology, telehealth, being able to get at least interim diagnoses just by sending images or talking to someone on the phone, and pushing some of those diagnostic services out into community settings too, away from hospitals. There's more of that that we can do with the will to do it, and I think these changes gives us a chance to do that.
Okay, what about dental care? There has been a lot of talk on that during the election last year, and Labour has promised to give more funding to emergency dental care. But what about regular checks? Will that be included into the Health NZ umbrella?
Yeah, again, in terms of the level of policy detail, haven't got down to that. I get the point.
Can we see that happening?
The point I was going to make is oral and dental care are kind of the neglected part of our health system. We subsidise and support young people and school-aged folks to get their dental health care, but actually a lot of adults stop at that point and miss out. So I know that that is an area that needs attention. It is a big challenge for us, but we haven't worked up any particular programs for that. We'll deal with these structures, we'll get the funding questions sorted, and then I think particular areas of healthcare we'll get into in the next couple of years.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up funding, because have you had conversations with the finance minister about this?
We all know that funding is a big challenge for health. We know that the current funding models are a big challenge, and that's why we've got work underway, policy work underway, to examine the current models and see what needs to change. The Minister of Finance is well aware of that work.
Okay, my final question. Local inputs. Now, in the currently, DHBs, we have elected boards on this, but when DHBs are gone, there won't be any democratically elected representatives to provide an input. So how will you ensure that there is still local input on the decisions that are made by the ministry?
I think the issue about elected DHB representatives presupposes that they are actually truly representative. And I'm not convinced that they are. That aside, I think the question about community input is absolutely vital. So I go back to the point I made before about locality planning networks, the way they operate. They're very much based around local community input from healthcare providers, but input from communities as well. And I think we have the opportunity for a much richer level of community representation and input into determining what healthcare needs there are in a particular community or locality, and therefore getting commissioning decisions that are more relevant to what is needed than we're seeing at the moment.
Great. Health Minister Andrew Little, thank you very
much, Justin,
for this morning.
Always a pleasure.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.